Looks like it.
Okay, so, I don't know, okay, fine, so again, we're reviewing. So basically the question was, could you say le in Iran? Just to review, the question was, could you say le, could you say that God commanded us to, if it's something which you were commanded in, but you could use a shliach, so like the father by Mila. So the father was commanded in Mila, but he could use a shliach. So one shita says, the first position says, says yeah, because you were commanded. And the second position says, no, because since you could use a shliach, so therefore you can't say it. Okay, therefore you can't say it.
You said you're
commanded. Yeah, so that's what it says. He says, one side says that since the chiyav, kim the chiyav aleh ramya, api shev shalei patim, and ideacher matzim alvar. So since you are obligated, the chiyav falls on you, the father, so therefore even though you can use a shliach, you could still say le. Whereas the other person says, no, that since you can use a shliach, so therefore, it's not right to say le. Right. Le. The other side says, "Mari b'biru kiyos v'lekel ruchay b'lami kivin shavshlos kana de'acher." Okay, fine. So that's the question, basically. Could you say le, commanded us to do this, if you were commanded, but you could use a shliach? Definitely, if you're commanded and you can't use a shliach, you could say le. Definitely, if you're like the mohel, if you were someone else was commanded, you're the shliach, you definitely can't say le. You don't have to say al. Because if you were commanded, but you could use a shliach, so then what's the deal? So he said is, and again, I'm going a little less, slower than we did last time, just to give a definition first, and then to give a go further in it. But the question is le means that you are commanded. Okay, now, the thing is that in this mitzvah of Mila, for instance, in a certain sense you were commanded, in another sense you weren't commanded. Which means that if you study the mitzvah of Mila, in the abstract, the institution of Mila was chal upon you, was commanded to you, the father, right? Like the Moel can't say, vis-a-vis the institution of Mila, the Moel can't say that I was commanded. But the father could say I was commanded. The Sivoya, the command of Mila, was to the father. So insofar as the institution itself, he could say le, because the mitzvah is the chiv, is the mitzvah was commanded to him. Okay, but, so that's in the framework of the mitzvah itself, he was commanded. He was commanded to do Mila. Now, the fact that he's a shliach is like a side point. Okay, fine, he's a shliach. But bottom line, he was commanded to do Mila. That's just a halachic technicality that when you're commanded to do Mila, it's a type of mitzvah that he's a shliach for. But in terms of the mitzvah itself, you were commanded. Okay, you were commanded to do Mila. But if you look at, that's if you look in the framework of the mitzvah itself. But if you look in terms of like the practical halachic system, practically, did the Torah say you have to do Mila? No, it didn't say that. It said, I have to make sure that Mila gets done. It did say I have to do Mila, but since there is shlichos, since I could use a shliach, I could use a messenger, in terms of the kedusha of the mitzvah, the practical impact, import of the mitzvah is, not that I have to do Mila, but I have to make sure Mila gets done. Okay, even though technically that's not the mitzvah is to do Mila, and then a super added mechanism of shlichos allows you to use someone else to do it. And then it's defined as if you did it. So conceptually, the mitzvah is for you to do Mila. But practically speaking, it's not a mitzvah for you to do Mila. It's to make sure it gets done. So the question is like, so in terms of, do you say le is only when you are obligated to do it? Does that go in terms of the abstract institution itself, or it goes into the bottom line practical? Practically, you're commanded to do it. That's the first, that would be just like defining what's the question, without going further. Okay, it's just like the first step. Is because that's what he's arguing. The one thing he's saying is you are commanded, the other thing is not commanded. So in terms of the mitzvah itself, you are commanded, but practically speaking, you weren't commanded because the practical takes into account the mitzvah principle of shlicho, of agency, and you could use an agent, and therefore you weren't commanded. Someone else could do it. So that's a first step, but it's somehow unsatisfying because why would you go? It's not bad, but you could say, so why should you go? Why should you look at whether you were commanded in the abstract, or in the institution, or you just go practically. So he said maybe you go further than that. So I'd say the first step is just like defining the two different ways of what le is on. Le means you were commanded. And we define, there's two ideas. Commanded means in terms of the institution, or in terms of the whole halachic system practically, you know. But it's not satisfying. I say, and oftentimes the definition, you can define the thing, and you're giving like two sides, but there's certain arbitrariness to it. Like, what's that contingent upon? Okay, so I think it's a good first step. Sometimes, I think last time we kind of skipped it over. I mean, I think it's implicit in what we said, but we didn't. Sometimes you could just go further. You know, you could skip that step, which I don't think is bad. But you know, it's sometimes good to spell out the step. It's a, you know, I jumped the step. So to go further, we said is that the question is what is the shavach on? Okay, because in a mitzvah, you say shekel shalom mitzvah mitzivanu le. okay, who sanctified us through the mitzvos and commanded us in milah, to do milah, or commanded us to do milah. So is the shevach on the institution of milah? That look, there are a lot of mitzvos. One mitzvah is milah. And you give a shevach on the institution of milah. God gave us milah. You give a shevach on the institution of lulav. You give a shevach on the institution. It's shevach is on this institution which God gave us. That's one way. Or do you say shevach is on the kedusha, the perfection, the sanctification of our lives, which the mitzvos affords us? So it's not just on the institution in the abstract as like a construct which God gave us, but it's on the impact, asher kedushanu b'mitzvos, of the kedusha which the mitzvos bring us. So if you say the mitzvah is on the institution itself, so then when the institution itself singles you out, then you could say leh. If the institution doesn't single you out, then you say oh. Okay, so the fact that you can use a shliach or not is extraneous. In other words, if you give a shevach is on the institution, then le means the person to whom the institution was commanded. So therefore, by the father, he could say lamal, because he was commanded, the institution of milah picked him out to do milah. The moel can't say that because it didn't pick him out. But if you say that the mitzvah, the bracha, is not just on the institution itself, but incorporates how the institution affects us, as mekadesh us, how it brings us to perfection. So then the mitzvos, a mitzvah which enables, which allows for shlech, or doesn't allow for shlech, are two different types of kedusha, two different types of perfection. One of them is a halacha, a mitzvah that you must be involved in this action, and there's a perfection of the involvement of your energies in this action itself. And the other is a different type of perfection, which is that you have a responsibility which is placed upon you to make sure that it gets done. And that could be through you doing it or through someone else doing it. But it's a different type of a kedusha, a different type of an involvement of the person. So if you say that the shevach should reflect the nature of the kedusha of the mitzvah, so then you don't just go by the abstract institution, but how that institution fits into the halachic system at large. And if shlichus is possible, then your shevach should reflect that. You should say al, which shows that the nature of the kedusha of this mitzvah is not one where I must act, but is one I'm commanded in this institution. I am obligated to this institution to make sure that it gets taken care of. As opposed to a bracha where you must do it yourself, you should say leh, to show that the kedusha here is that I was commanded to do this action. But again, that's the premise, that you're saying that the bracha should include shevach about the kedusha of the mitzvah. But you say just shevach on the institution itself, so then just as long as you were primarily at, given this institution, then you're going to say leh. I'm assuming that the institution itself is the same, whether or not you could use a shliach. So I think the sense of that, I mean, I forgot how exactly we learned this sugya previously, because we did this stuff about shlichus, when you say you can use a shlich, when you can't. But the way I'm assuming now is that this is a general principle, is you can use a shliach unless it's a mitzvah shebegufa, unless it's a mitzvah to your body. See, because the idea of shlicha, my premise is really shlichus always works. Okay, you could always say that if you do it, you could always say your shlich's action is like you did it. Halachically, that works. It's like you did it. But the problem is, if like the mitzvah is, let's say, to eat matzah, so matzah is like an action to your body. Whereas if it's an action which is bringing something about, so if he brings it about, it's like you brought it about. But the action of eating matzah is a mitzvah which involves your body. It's like you're putting matzah in your stomach. So you can't have someone else do that for you. It's not just, they can't transfer it to you. I mean, as opposed to like a mitzvah which is to do something in the world or whatever. So then you say, look, if he did it, it's as if I did it. You know, so that's attributable to me. And what I'm saying is that if in terms of, it is different insofar as the way the mitzvah affects you, it is different. Because in one of them you are commanded to do something to your body, or in the other one you're just commanded in a responsibility, in some external something in the world, to bring about an effect in the world. So insofar as the kedusha of the mitzvah, it is different. But the other way is that you're really just giving shevach on the fact that God commanded us and sits us. And if God commanded you, then you say leh. And if God didn't command you, then you say al. So it's not like you're not going into the particulars of the mitzvah. The idea of le versus al is that if the mitzvah was nimsar, it was given over to you, then you could say le. You say, God, you commanded us to do milah. That's what it means. You commanded me to, you gave me a chiyuv to do milah. And the shevach of le is whenever you are a recipient of this institution, so you give shevach on the institution. You don't go into the particulars of the, shevach isn't on the particulars of the institution and how the institution affects me. It's shevach on the institution. Only difference in al and le is if you, the institution is given to you, you're commanded in it, so then you could say, commanded us to do milah. If you weren't, then you just have to say you really weren't commanded. You just happen to be partaking of an institution that it's out there. You know what I mean? So then you say, ah. But the shevach doesn't go into the particulars of the institution. It's just shevach on the institution itself. Whereas the other guy is saying, no, the shevach actually goes into the nature of the institution. And I'm saying that what I mean by the nature is the way the mitzvah affects you, which is the kedusha of the mitzvah. That's the halacha, like, you know, that's where you see in the bracha place to say that it goes into the particulars of the institution. Because you see kedushanu mitzvah. So in terms of kedushanu, it's different. It's different kedushanu. Different kedusha from the mitzvah. So the difference between the first step and the second step is the first step is you're saying is that does le means when you're commanded. Do you go by your commanded in terms of the institution, or does it go by practically your commanded?
Right.
But it's just like, what's that about? What's that? It's just, okay, two ways to say commanded. What does commanded mean? And what is that? It's just not enlightening. What's that a question about? But here you're saying it's a question about shevach. You're getting down to the nature of the institution. You're saying it's shevach about the mitzvah. And you're saying, is the shevach, how particular is the shevach? Or what role does the, when you say Hashekei Deshanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, that you're definitely mentioning Kedusha and the Bracha, how particular does the shevach, how particular does the shevach of the institution get? So when you're giving shevach about the mitzvah, are you going into the particulars of the Kedusha of the mitzvah? Because you're saying Deshanu Mitzvos, so the shevach actually, you know, differentiates between the nature of the Kedusha and the mitzvah? Or do you say, no, that it's really just Shevach about the institution? And yeah, Kedushanu you're mentioning because the Brach mitzvahs give us Kedusha and they help, but you know, that the Shevach doesn't get into that. So now the question is, insofar as the definition, the Svara now is it within the framework of what the Shevach is, and with all what the institution is, and now your mind, this is something which you could see our Moroim arguing about. As now you kind of feel like you're not just about is it the chiyuv in terms of the mitzvah or chiyuv in terms of the, you know, in terms of the system, but it's like, what about chiyuv? What's this a question about? So you get insight into the area that it's in, as opposed to just being like in a definition. You're kind of just like giving the categories almost. It's like chafza gavra would be like a definition. You know, is it din in the chafza or is it din in the gavra? You know, so that could be a good definition, but. But it's why would I use this category? What framework would cause me to use? What about this institution would be cause me to use this category? Or use me that category? So now once you specify, oh, we're talking about shevach, and in shevach we're about the brach mitzvah. The mitzvah is kedusha. Different mitzvahs are differentiated based upon their kedusha, yet they still are the tzivo is given to you. So do you get into that degree of particularity? That's always a question in bracha, right? That was like. It's always a question of how particular any brachas do you get, right? That was like the question of Bripri Eitz. You don't say Bripri bananas and apples, you know. So it's a question in particular, you know, in brachas of how particular you got. The question is that, I mean, that whether that question, I'm sure you maybe go further in, but I feel that's already getting more, you know, more speculative, as to, you know. Well, the thing is that why you'd say one or the other, I think is ultimately you have to ask them. And I don't think you can ultimately say that, because it's based on their intuition in the area. But I think that you could paint it in a way where you could see it being an intuitive question. Like once you give the context and the area and you could see where the question lies, so now you could see an intuition, someone who knows about brachas and knows about studies brachas and how particular brachas usually are and what shevach of brachas entails, so you could see how they could intuit that you would or wouldn't include this. I mean, whereas the other way, if you just leave it as, does lim means you the commandment in terms of the tzivoy, commandment in terms of the, you know, in terms of the practicality, like what's, how do you intuit that? It's just like a random category. Is it this category or is it that category? But it's not something which you could imagine someone even having intuition about. I mean, so I think that's what it's for. I mean, it's subtle. These things are always subtle. I mean, it's not a simple formula when, you know, but that's the way I see it is when, is this something I could see being like an intuitive, like could you see going either way? And if you'd feel like, how would I ever do that? It's just two random definitions without any direction as to where you know why you'd say this or that. Then I feel you know then you're missing something. You know it's not enlightening. It's not nothing. It's a good first step, but you know, like I don't tell Rebbe he's talking about like the difference. I guess you call it the what or the why. You know, like I guess the what is just like the pure definition. You know, and the why is where you're giving some insight into the thing. I think he said like. A good what, like, should give you some insight into the why. That's what he said. It's like, it's a good, so if you're just giving pure what, like, you can say a lot of, that's his point, you can say a lot of definitions. You can just say, oh, this is a din in the Gavra. Okay, what's, well, how does that make sense insofar as the sugya? Why you can't just, not any, when you see halacha, not any construct could work anywhere. You can't just say, oh yeah, it's a halacha like this, and it's a halacha, you just throw in random terms, but some of the term just isn't satisfying. It's just that your mind doesn't, so it has to give you, a good definition should give you, that's what he said, it should give you like some inclination or some sense of the why. Like your mind should have a certain, ah, that makes sense, I could see that, you know, but to get ultimately, why did Rav Papi say this, and ultimately said Rav Papi, were the arguments that they gave to favor this or favor that? Then I don't know, you know, that's not. I think that's too much. That's too speculative. You know, you can't get into that. But to at least paint the area and to see that as being a question which your intuition could, you know, could pass judgment upon. That's, I think, where it would be nice if you could get. You can't always get it. I mean, sometimes you know you gotta be satisfied with what you get. And you know, I don't think here it's too far of a leap though. Because the definition put us into the framework of the mitzvah itself, or the practical how the mitzvah affects us. So then, you know, that just the only move making, that's the kedusha of the mitzvah. How the mitzvah affects you is the kedusha, and then you're saying in the text of the bracha itself, "Shekhi the shana also." So it's not like a far reach to say that that's relevant, you know. Yeah, but that was Matt pointed out. It's like we didn't. That's, I think, the role. I think definitions are a good first step, and I mean sometimes you skip over them. You just could jump right to the definitions, where you just kind of. Without giving the framework of the thing, it's more certain than the svara, which kind of follows up from it. And you don't necessarily have to break them up into two steps, but it's, sometimes it's good though. So let's go further in the Ran. Okay, so the Ran. So basically, this is the Ran's theory. Okay, so the Ran's theory is that in so basically the Gemara concludes. Let's just say, so how does it conclude? So the conclusion is al. Okay, al. And what does al mean? So al means that you really shouldn't say le. You shouldn't say le on bir chametz, because le means that the kedusha of the mitzvah, the kedusha idea, which means is that if I was commanded to do this action, that I must actually do this action, the kedusha of the mitzvah, I have to do this action, then you say le. But if you weren't commanded to do this action, then al is better, because then you reflect that this is a mitzvah which is just a goal that I accomplish. So then I want to say al. And therefore I should say al. Even though le will also imply future, but you should say al. And this is what the Ran is trying to explain, why the Gemara says specifically al. You should say al, because al will reflect the future. And al reflects that it's not a mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah is one, where it's just a responsibility for me to accomplish, as opposed to being like an action that I must do. Okay? And therefore the Ran says that by mila, the way we conclude, which is like Rav Papa, is that you should say al no matter what. Even the father should say al, because even though he was personally commanded, but he could just—it's just a responsibility that he must accomplish. So therefore, the father, even the father, should say al. And that therein, Hiram argues with the Rambam, because the Rambam says the father says le. Okay, the Ran says that when the Gemara says that distinction, that's only going into Rav Papi. But we don't hold that way. The real conclusion is that you say you go by the kedusha of the mitzvah, and therefore by mila or an institution where you could use a shliach, you say al. That's the Ran's conclusion. Okay, but an institution where you must do it, then you say le. Okay, then you must say le. So that's basically what it comes down to. So far, what it comes down to. If you must do it yourself, then you say le. If someone else could do it, you use a shliach, then you say al. Al highlights that it's that you are just commanded on the institution. Which means that you have a responsibility to the institution, as opposed to that you're commanded to do X. So mila, I have a responsibility to the institution of mila. I don't have to do the action of cutting. I just have I'm commanded on ensuring that mila takes place. So al is where it's not I must do an action. When I must do an action, lihaniach tefillin, I must do the action of putting on the tefillin, then I say let. So that's the Ran's theory. Again, so far the theory consists of one point, is that if you are personally commanded, you must do the action, you say leh. If you could use a shliach, then you say al. So then he says, okay, so he says ulefikach. Okay, so this is on the very bottom line, on the Gimel and the Beis, in the Daf Eref. He says, ulefikach anu mevarchin betfilin betzitzit yeshiva besukah. So belamed. Right, so tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah, you must do yourself. So you say leh, right? Okay. Ubir bir chametz umila ushchita be'al. So right, so bir chametz you can use a shliach, mila you can use a shliach, shchita slaughtering an animal you can use a shliach. So if we say al, fine. So now is where he's going to start going into all the different cases. Okay. So now he says, "V'hainu d'tani b'tosefta b'shelim michilten." This is a tosefta. This is a Tanakh source says, "Ezu b'yachas ha-pesach, asher k'dashom esuvanu le'echol ha-pesach." Right? You say le'echol ha-pesach. Ezu b'yachas zevach shel le'echol ha-zevach. Right? To eat. So that's good with his theory, right? Because his theory is lamed is when you have to do it, and you do have to do it, right? As opposed to, now I think he's mentioned this, because remember Rashi's theory, Rashi didn't have this. Rashi just said that really you could say al orle. Right? Remember, according to Rashi, the only question was future, was future or past. The Gemara concludes al. The Gemara al, the only issue was, is if it's, al works, really. According to Rashi, al worked, as long as, because al implies the future also. You can use context. Remember, that was a simple way to learn. You can use context. And the Rashi says, really, you can use al or le. The Ran is introducing a new idea that you can only say le if you were personally commanded. But according to Rashi, al is fine. You could say al be your chametz, or you could say live or chametz. Either one would work. Right? Either one would work. Now, it turns out, if you look at Rashi, and this is interesting, is where it has this thing of al berchas hazevach, Rashi, the Tosefta says le. Oh, I'm sorry. So the question is, why do you say al? Why? That was the question. So why do you say al? Why does the Gemara say Hilchasa al biyachametz? You should say al. What about, why can't you say le also? It should be al or le. So one answer was, is because you want to show that al also works. Okay, you want to show that. Yeah, so it says that, the question was, so Rashi said really you could say al or le, either one. By biyachametz, either one will work. Al or le. But the Ravid, if you remember, said that you should say al to show people that you're a chacham, you know what you're doing, and that al works. Now, if you look, it turns out it's very interesting that this thing, Berchas HaPesach and Berchas HaZevach, it's Rashi and Pesach and Kuf Chaf Aleph. He actually has Al Achilas Pesachim and Al Achilas Shlamim. Okay, so he does have Al by these brachas. Okay, so according to the Ran, you couldn't say Al. And that's what he's trying to show, is that you have to say Le, because you say Le when you personally are obligated. But Rashi didn't have that idea. Rashi said he could say al. He didn't care about that. And it turns out that Rashi actually has al in the by those brachas. I don't know that he does. I guess the Tosefta, he didn't have Tosefta. He argued on Tosefta, I don't know. But I don't know if he had to say al, but for whatever reason you'd say al by Bior, he has al over there also. So it's just interesting. Okay, fine. So now here's where it gets interesting. So now it says, V'hainu nami d'tanu perek avi psachim. Okay? So now the question is, so what would you say you should do by matzah and mar? So far, according to the Ran, what would you say by matzah and mara? What should you say?
Le, for sure.
Le, right? Okay. So let's take a look at this Gemara. I mean, we'll see what the Ran says in a second, but let's look at the Gemara. Kuf Yudalim and Beis. This is interesting. I think this is kind of what's interesting about the sugya is it's like a lot of sugyas in one. We're going to digress because in order to, as I mentioned before, in order to take up and what bracha you should say and give a mitzvah, you have to know a little bit about the mitzvahs. Because right, you have to know about Al and Le, and you also have to know about the mitzvahs themselves. So we're going to be digressing from time to time. So this is a Gemara which says, is what happens, let's just recall, at the Seder, on the Seder night, on Pesach, so you have two times you eat vegetables. Right? One time you eat vegetables, karpas, and the other time is as a mara. Okay, so karpas is just where you eat like a potato or a carrot or whatever. Right? And then karpas, that's karpas. And then for maror, you eat like a bitter vegetable, right? And that's later on. There are different parts of the Seder. Okay, so you make a hadama on the karpas, and then you make when you come to maror, which is later on in the Seder, you say alachilas maror, the bracha of alachilas maror. They call it asher k'dashom esuvanu, whatever, lechol maror, alachilas maror, whatever. But that's the berachas mitzvah. Okay? Now the question is, the Gemara is the case, let's say you don't have two vegetables. The only vegetable you have is romaine lettuce, let's say, is maror. So now what do you do? Right? So why? See, the mitzvah of maror is supposed to be later. The mitzvah of maror is supposed to be later. After the matzah, whatever. It's supposed to be later on. Okay? So the problem is, what are you going to do? So when it comes to karpas, what are you going to do? You're going to eat your maror. So now you're going to have a problem, because you're already going to be able to do your mitzvah of maror early on. So a simple solution is to have in mind that you're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. You're not doing it for maror, right? You can have like negative kavana, like we talked about. So you just do it, you eat it, but you have in mind that you're not filling the mitzvah of maror. So fine, you do that, and then you end up doing the maror later for the mitzvah. So let me ask you, so when would you say the bracha on maror? The bracha on maror in such an instance?
Second time.
Second time you'd say, obviously, right? Okay. So let's see here. So they're not so simple. It's machlokas. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Pshita, six lines from the bottom. On kuf yud dalet amabez imsachem. Okay? So it says, Pshita echad ika shay yarakos. If you have different vegetables, let's say carrots, mevorach ashay yarakos bar vedam. You say hadama on the carrots, v'achil, v'hadu barach al achil smar, v'achil, and then later you eat, you make al achil smar and you eat it. Notice it says, al achil smar. Right? Al achil smar. Oh, I think the Ron may have had le. Okay, fine. Al achil smar v'achil. What about if you only have this, like, mar? Okay, I forgot exactly what vegetable chasa is, but it's mar. Okay? Amar ahuna, mevarach meikara amarar bar piyadama. So first you eat the marar and you say bar piyadama, v'achel. Right? But you're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. Right? V'lubisof, mevarach leal alachias mar, v'achel. In the end, you make the bracha alachias mar, and you eat. Simple. Right? Okay. Fine. Simple, right? No problem. Maskef l'Rav Chista, Rav Chista asks, La'achar shemila kreso heimena chozer mevarach aleha? After you fill your stomach up with this maror at karpas time, you're going to then make a bracha of alachias maror later? How could you do that? How could you say the bracha of alachias maror this whole time you were at karpas, you already ate the maror? So you're not going to say Al-Khil Zmara then, and then you're going to make the bracha of Al-Khil Zmara later? Does that make sense? Right, exactly. What's his problem? Obviously, you the first time you were doing it, you were having kavana that you weren't doing for the mitzvah. So what's he bothered by? After you fill your belly with the maror, how are you going to say the bracha? Who cares? You fill your belly. It sounds like it's very, like trying to paint a picture, some sort of imagery, like, after I stuffed my belly with maror, now I'm going to say, first of all, you don't eat that much. It's a whole question whether you eat a kezias or less than a kezias. It's not like you're stuffed with maror, you know? Like, what's he, and what, who cares? I stuffed my belly. But did I do the mitzvah? Did I not do the mitzvah? I didn't do the mitzvah. Since I didn't do the mitzvah, so who cares? What's the problem, right? What's the problem? So what does he say? So rather, he says, Hello, Amar of Chista, Meikara Mevarach Leal Bar Pi Adama V'Alchias Mar. The first time you make the bracha of Bar Pi Adama and the Mar, both brachas, V'Achil, U'Besav, Achachas Chasa, below bracha, and then at the end, you eat the Mar without a bracha. So the bracha of Asher Yisrael Achachas Mar, you make the first time, even though it's not really the mitzvah. Even though it's not really the mitzvah. Look at Tosos. Tosos explains it a little bit, but it's very difficult. Okay, this is difficult, Gemara. Okay, so Rav Chista Nami Nira Disavar Kerish Lakish Dabai Kavana. So Rav Chista also holds you need Kavana. Right? So, because if he held that you don't need Kavana, see, if he held you don't need Kavana, by the way, you can either say negative Kavana, or you could just say if you hold in general that you need Kavana, so then you're not going to be filled the mitzvah because you didn't have Kavana to do it the first time. You know what I mean? Either way, it means you're only doing the mitzvah the second time. Not the first time. If you hold you don't need kavana in general, so then you have negative kavana. But if you hold you always need kavana, so just the first time you don't have kavana, you don't have intent. You're doing it for the mitzvah of maror, and then it won't work. Fine. So Rav Chista also holds that, because if you said Rav Chista holds you don't need kavana, then maybe you'd say the reason why Rav Chista is saying that you have to make the bracha the first time is because you don't need kavana, so you can fulfill the mitzvah the first time. But he said don't think that. Rav Chista also holds you need kavana, and he also holds that you're not going to have kavana the first time. Afal pikein savar, okay. The ein nachon levarach v'tibul sheni. It's not proper. Okay, ein nachon. It's not correct. It's not proper to make the bracha the second time. Kivan shekvar mila kreso, since you already filled your belly with it. So he agrees you're not going to fill it the first. You're not going to do the mitzvah the first time. It's not going to count the first time because you don't have intent. But still, it's not proper to say the bracha the first time since you already filled your belly with it. Not proper is a very funny type of a way to talk. You know, he's trying to explain, you know, this thing, and it's a rhetorical thing, and he's not really helping much. You know, fine. The isavar ain't shul's kavana. Because if he held that really you don't even need kavana, have you lamer behedjed then afik b'tivul rishon then mivarch b'tivul sheni have you brachal batala? Because if he held that really the first time you are doing the mitzvah, don't say. That how can you make the bracha after you filled your belly? The first time you already fulfilled the mitzvah, 100%. And now the second time, if you can make the bracha, it's going to be a bracha levatala. You're just saying a bracha where there's absolutely no room for a bracha. So he's saying so you must say that even according to Rav Chista, you haven't actually fulfilled the mitzvah the first time. And therefore, in theory, you could say the bracha the second time, because that's really when you're doing the mitzvah. It's just not proper. It's not proper to say it the second time. It's more proper to say it the first time. Okay, so maybe you'll say He says, then you don't have to go try to get other vegetables. That's a different point. So you make the bracha on the first time. Even though the ikar mitzvah of, now he's talking funny again. Even though the ikar, the essential mitzvah of maror, you don't fulfill until later, until the second one. Still, the bracha you made the first time counts for the second time, right? Because you may say, look, you made it the first time, but the second one is the mitzvah, is the real mitzvah, so you shouldn't make a bracha again. He says, no. Since the, even though you didn't do the essence of the mitzvah is later, still the bracha you made the first time will count for later. Will count for later. Okay? Since you did a little bit, you ate a little bit the first time. And he says it's the same thing like by shofar. Because he says the real bracha. When do we make shofar? The bracha of shofar. You make it when you blow shofar before davening, before Shemona Esrei, right? Before Musaf. You make the, you know. But he says the real mitzvah of shofar is later. Is during Shemona Esrei. So he says, but you see, you make the bracha on the first one, and it counts for the later ones, even though the real mitzvah was later. So he says that you could do that. Even though, in other words, if you have two stages in a mitzvah, stage one is not really the real deal. The second one is the real deal. If you make the bracha on the stage one, it counts on stage two as well, on the real deal. Okay, so you may have thought it does, and he says it does. Okay, fine.
What's your kavanah
on the second one?
The total noun, or do you need to say not the first?
Oh, well, that depends if you hold kavanah or not kavanah. You mean by shofar? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's different. By shofar, you mean? I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's holding, yeah, the real mitzvah should be for them. But by Mara, definitely. I mean, that's another, what's he mean? If he's saying is you don't have kavanah, again, he's saying is Rav Chisda holds you need kavanah. Okay, so just forget negative kavanah. According to Rav Chisda, according to everybody here, you need to have kavanah. First one, you're not having intent to do the mitzvah of Mara. You're just doing karpas. So you're not doing mitzvah of Mara. So what does he mean that even though the second one is the ikar, the essential mitzvah of Mara? What do you mean the essential? The second one is the mitzvah of Mara. The first one is nothing. You know? It's the same kind of question. And what's the big deal? Why could you, says he can't make the bracha on the second one because after you just filled your belly with a marar isn't a vegetable, marar is a halach chafetz shel mitzvah. So when you filled your belly with it, that's not marar, that's not the bracha, because it's very nice, you just ate romaine lettuce, but you didn't eat marar. Marar is a mitzvah. So who cares that you just filled your belly with it, but it was a mitzvah. And when it comes time to do the mitzvah, so then you do the mitzvah. So then you should make the bracha then. That's Rav Huna's argument. Rav Huna just holds simple. That the first one was not mitzvah altogether, the second one was mitzvah, so you make the bracha the second time. Rav Chisda is arguing, no, you can't do that. You can't make the bracha the second time. You can't fill your belly with it and then make the bracha. So therefore you have to make the bracha the first time. But the bracha the first time will count for the second time. Okay? So what's the going on here? What's Rav Chisda's position? Shadani is saying, it's still, according to Rav Chisda, you're filling your belly with the mara, and then when you do the mitzvah, you're already full with it. So apparently his problem isn't about doing the mitzvah, his problem is the bracha, for some reason. He says, it's true, you can fill your belly with it, that's fine. But don't make the bracha. The bracha can't be when your belly's full with it. Okay, so this is one question. I think, let's see how the Ron uses this. But this is, I think in order to, the Ron's going to bring this Gemara, and we have to understand this Gemara in order to do the Ron. But let's see how the Ron uses it, and we'll leave these to think about until tomorrow. But let's see the Ron, because the Ron's important. The Ron had a different girsa than we did, I think. I mean, you look at it back again, but I didn't notice it until now. But let's see how the Ron uses it. So the Ron says, he brings this Gemara. Then he says, V'hainu tanu perek arvei psachim. Pshita, this is on Dalman off the first white line. The first line. Pshita, heichud achol shayyarki mvarach lerpi adama, v'achilu chimatit chazeres mvarach le'achol mar. Okay, so first of all, he says le'achol. So basically you'll see is that according to his Gemara, usually it says le'achol. Because remember we said according to the Ron, in general you should say la, because mara is something that you have to do. You personally have to do, right? So you should say le. So he said, and he does. In a regular case, he says that his Gemara, his text said le. Le chalmar. Hechad leka shayarki mai. Amar avunim varach meikar rabbi adam av achel. Vosof varach al achilas mara. Okay, there you see al there? He says, so according to Rav Huna, what you do is, first you eat, again, Rav Huna says, first you eat the karpas, you don't make a bracha, and then you make a bracha at the end. And what bracha? Al. See his text, the Gemara just flipped back. Within, when it goes into Rav Huna, it flipped back. And then, Rakshinon lalachash mekresa mevarach leha, elamar of chista mevarach leha mekar berpe adama veleachol marar. See, then again, it went back to la, leachol. You see, so if you notice, in the way his text is, There's three times the Gemara said the bracha. One time it said la, the other time it said al, and the next time it said le. So that's pretty strange. But he's going to show his theory explains it. Okay? And I'll get the, go over the particulars in a second. So in the Amar Bikul Lechol, with the Ravuna al, you see in all the only one it said al, really it said le always. Because he's saying le is really the right bracha for Mara, because you're a chayef. The only time it said al is by Ravuna. Okay, and Ravuna was the one who made the bracha on the second time. Okay, on the second time. Why? He's reminded the chalecha de achale, the lo ta'imine klum. If you eat it and that's the first thing you eat, okay, you didn't eat any mara yet before, then definitely you say le. Okay, mevarach le'achol kashar kol mitzvah she'ev shalik patu na de'acher. Because you have to do it personally yourself, so you say le. Shemavarach le'im over las yosem b'lama, because you're doing it before the mitzvah. Right, before the mitzvah, and you say le. Say le, you were personally commanded. Aval b'mayid esfilu ravuna, but according to ravuna, kiyum shemi le'krezo. So, but according to ravuna, you're making it the second time, where you already ate mara the first time. Afal pish lo'achol shem mara, even though you didn't do it for the mitzvah of mara, you're just doing it for your karpas, kimevarech la'achar ha'mitzvah. Is like you are making the bracha after the mitzvah. Umevarech al. Okay? Because that's what Gemara says, is that if you do the bracha after the mitzvah, then it's not before, then you have to say al, because le implies the future, al implies the past. So he's saying is that since you already ate some marar the first time, even though it wasn't the mitzvah, since you already ate marar the first time, so when you say the bracha on the second time, so then you have to say al, because it's going back on the past. You know, saying he's going back on the past. Okay? Yeah, but that's the problem, is that that was Rav Chista's argument. Rav Chista's argument was that how could you not say the bracha the first time, because the first time you're filling your belly with it. So therefore, the first time you have to say the bracha. But Rav Huna said, I don't care the first time, because the first time wasn't for the mitzvah. The first time was just eating horseradish, eating romaine lettuce. So Rav Chista's whole point, Mahuna's whole point was that, no, that I don't care, you make the bracha the second time, because that's really the mitzvah. So then who cares that, you know, he's going back into Chista's world, who cares that the first time, that you already ate marar beforehand, that wasn't the eating of mitzvah. So it's like, he's like, contradicting himself, within Ravuna's thing, he says, no, you can't say le, because you already ate marar before. But if you already ate marar before, then you should have said the bracha before. That was Ravuna's whole point, is that you didn't say the bracha before, because that before wasn't for the purpose of the mitzvah. That was just eating horseradish or whatever. So you're making it the second time according to Ravuna, because that's really the mitzvah one. So now the text of the bracha should reflect the future, right? Before you did the second time, you should say le, right? Because it's the future. But he doesn't say that. He says no. You say past, because since you filled your belly with it already, so you have to reflect back on the past. So that's a problem. I mean, this is a big problem. It sounds like even if you get through the problems in the Gemara Masechim, this is like, it sounds like he's throwing Rav Huna back into Rav Chista's world. So that's that would be nice if we could explain. I mean, I don't think we're ready to answer this question yet, because we have to, I think you should try to understand the question, but I don't think we're ready to answer it until we define the Gemara there. Because how are you going to get into answering this thing if you don't even know Rav Chista and Rav Huna? I mean, he's trying to show you how within Rav Huna, I mean, if you don't have, that's why I think you have to do this. That's why this Ron is like that. I mean, if you don't look at these other Gemaras, I don't think you can really do these things. But the question is, so hopefully we'll take that up. I mean, the Ron thinks he's not bothered by this problem altogether. He thinks his theory solves this great problem. Because it says le, then al, then le. So he says, because really the bracha of Mara is le, because you are personally commanded. And the only problem that thing is that when it's past, then you have to say al. And within Rav Huna, it's past. So it's like he beautifully solves that why the Gemara keeps changing back and forth. The only problem is that it sounds like according to Rav Huna, it's not past. According to Rav Huna, the first one is nothing. So it's a problem. So he's getting it from the Gemara, which the text of his Gemara said al there. But he's not saying, he doesn't sound like he's forced into it. It sounds like he thinks it makes beautiful sense. But what we're saying is it doesn't make sense. It's against the opposite of what Rav Huna's whole position is. You know what I mean?
We're taking
Ravuna's. Yeah, I mean, our Gemara had al all the way through. Al. By the way, I mean, you could say, I mean, this is something which is, I mean, the Rambam has this also. You could argue, I don't know if I would want to argue this, but sometimes al achilas marar is not, it could mean, quotes, al achilas marar, or it could mean you make the bracha on, al means on achilas marar, but it's not telling you what quote. I mean, it would be le, it could be al, it doesn't, al could be, le definitely is a quote. But Al, you could. So that's how you explain the Girsa, is that Ron's Girsa said it, said the exact quote. But our Gemara, whatever, different Girsa, just was telling you the bracha on Mara, whatever the bracha is. You don't know what the bracha is. You study, you know, study the sugya, you know what bracha you make on Mara. So I'm just saying, is Al is not. You don't have to say that the Girsas are arguing, you know. But perhaps you would say that. I'm just saying it's possible. There are certain Rambams where he brachas which he clearly holds. You say le, but then he says Al. And I think that's the way you have to say it. The Chetzimisha says it. Well, when we get to the Ram, we'll say. But I think he says that. He doesn't mean Al. He's not quoting Al. He just means the bracha on. So that's, you know, a little bit of a tricky part about it. But yeah, so let's again. I think this question, this Rav Chisda, I think, is one of these problems that bothered me for years. It's like, you know, you always see it. It's like if you do Pesachim, if you learn Pesachim every year Pesach, like you just encounter that thing, you know. But that question of the Achash Mila Kresim, and after you fill your belly with it, how could you make a bracha? I mean, it's just a very bothersome question. You know, it just sounds like he just doesn't get halacha. It's just not how halacha works. After you filled your belly with it, how can you say the bracha? It's like, you know, it just sounds like, you know, someone doesn't know about halacha. Ask that kind of question. What do you mean, dude? Weren't you just eating this horseradish the whole time? Now you can make the bracha? So yeah, but don't you realize this thing called kavana and this thing called a mitzvah, and it's not just horseradish, it's a mitzvah. And that wasn't the mitzvah. So what's Rav Chisda's problem is hard to understand. That's the first problem, and then what Rav Huna is, how the Ron learns Rav Huna. Okay, so hopefully we'll do the stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow's, yeah.